This episode is brought to you by .site domains. If you're looking to build a great website for your business, you can find a short and meaningful domain name on the .site domain extension. To register, visit www.get.site, that's S-I-T-E, and use the code SELFRELIANCE to get up to a 50% discount on your purchase. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz. My guest today is Brian Kurtz. He is the CEO and founder of Titans Marketing. He's a former VP of marketing for the very large publisher Boardroom, which I think is now called Bottom Line Inc. You were there about 30 years. He's also the author of a book called Over Deliver, Build a Business for a Lifetime, Playing the Long Game in Direct Response Marketing. So, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I've wanted to be on your show for a while. I've been a fan of yours for many years.
Well, thanks so much. Well, you're one of those few people that I can talk about the good old days before the internet, before we did marketing without the internet. It's funny. I go, you probably do this too. I go and speak to conferences back when we did that. I'll mention this idea of how I sold my first product and that that I sent in ad copy to a magazine. You know, the ad ran. There was an 800 number. Already 6 weeks have passed. There's an 800 number. They would call for a free report, which I would stick in the mail and send to them. And in that free report, there'd be a little coupon at the bottom of it that they could send back to me with a check. So, and then I would go to the shelf and get my three-ring binder with CDs in it, and I would send it to them. The whole process took about 12 weeks.
Yeah, at least it wasn't cassettes, but great track. But, you know, the thing is that it's interesting you say that because, you know, chapter 3 of my book is How Paying Postage Made Me a Better Marketer. And it's not, you know, we can't lecture people on the good old days being better than today, because they weren't. They just weren't. And but what the good old days were, you know, basically the bedrock of direct response marketing. And I'll tell you, I'm a student of everything that's going on today. That's state of the art. I'm in masterminds where I'm a student. I'm the dumbest guy in the room. But I go in there, I absorb it, I take it back to my masterminds. It's all direct response. And, you know, the people I grew up with in you know, direct mail and TV, radio, all the traditional offline media, you know, a lot of them gave up when the internet came along because it was too confusing. And I saw it as like the internet is going to be the ultimate. And you said the timing. I mean, you waited 16 weeks for our results in a direct mail campaign, you know, so I like the speed of it, but I knew I had a lot to learn. But it was fascinating to me how all the principles all apply. And some of them have been put on steroids by some of the gurus today in really good ways. And you have to be careful, though, because you don't want to lecture people on doing a newsletter with a coupon in it. But you know, you have to go back and go ahead, I guess, is what it is.
Well, I think so many of the principles, as you talk about, I mean, you look at any sales page today for, you know, a high converting, you know, online, you know, landing page or something, and it's just 101 direct response. I mean, it's exactly what, you know, the 14 page, you know, sales letter, you know, used to be that people sent out in the mail and all of the triggers, you know, you know, the scarcity and the timed offer and the bonuses. I mean, that's all straight from that stuff.
I guess the big difference is though, like, you know, when you have launches like product launch formula type of thing, where you can, you know, you can really give away a lot of good content up front to get to the, you know, and then you open the cart, you close the cart, and it's a little different in that way. Whereas direct mail, you know, with postage and printing, you're not giving away too much up front. I would say our letters, like at Boardroom, we had 12-page letters, we had 24-page magalogs, we had 64-page bookalogs, like they were actually booklets. And, it, you know, people would put them on their nightstand thinking it was a product, but it was a promotion. But what we did was, I see this as the precursor to, say, a launch, because you had to give away some steak. You couldn't be all sizzle, because if you're all sizzle, you know, what's happening online is a lot of steak. Now you have much more steak on for the product, but that's the difference. Content marketing has changed everything. But I do believe that I could find, and I found it with Magalogs, Bookalogs, long copy, as you said. That's the comparison of what we did in direct mail that kind of corresponds to the launches and giving away your best content before selling more good content.
Yeah. So I want to get into today's world, but just because I have you and have the opportunity in all your years with Boardroom, what's the oddest thing you ever sold at Boardroom? Because you guys were into health stuff. Supplements, all kinds of stuff.
It was mostly books and newsletters, I have to say. I would say, I don't know if it's what I ever sold was so weird, but how we sold some of it was strange. Right. I mean, we would have these A copywriters, A-list copywriters like Jim Rutz. Yeah. And Jim Rutz was, you know, I loved him, but he was batshit crazy. And so he would come up with these concepts. Like he had one where he had it was like Hillary milking the system, and this is before she was when she was first lady. And it was like he had this picture of this of Hillary like pulling the oars of a cow, and she's like, and so there's been some weird stuff like that has been in promotion. As far as products go, you know, we didn't sell too much weird stuff because it was basically, I think it was the headlines. We had a headline for one of our health books that became The Control that was doctors who amputate by mistake. And it was, but it was based on fact. It was based on doctors who went into the operating room. They were supposed to cut off the left leg and they cut off the right leg.
So
things like that, the shocking but true direct mail was probably the most, you know, strange stuff that we did. And then we also did some stuff. Like I remember, even it wasn't that strange, but the idea that some of our copywriters would have a panel of like subscribers that we were going to promote to, and he would test headlines against them. And one of the best headlines he tested against the panel that became a longstanding control was how do doctors care for sick people all day and stay well, or something like that. Okay. And it was kind of obvious, but you never would have known about it. So I'd say more in promotion was more weird than the products.
Yeah. So that was kind of bottom line health, as I recall.
Yeah, bottom line health. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of lived on some of those oddities, didn't it? A little bit, you know, of, you know, like mysterious things that, you know, you might not know about medical stuff.
Yeah. We called them fascinations, and they were bullet points with page numbers. So something that was, the guy who was our secret weapon in that in the 1980s was a guy named Mel Martin. Like the best copywriter no one ever heard of. This guy was just a master at writing fascinations. And he said he learned it from Ralph Ginsberg in the 60s. And Ralph Ginsberg was, you know, state of the art to, you know, where he went to jail for stuff that you'd never go to jail for today. And so the fascination approach, and then Gene Schwartz was another user of the fascination approach, because you go into a book and you want to pull out what's good in there. And actually the bullet point is way better than the answer. One of our most famous was what never to eat on an airplane.
Right.
And the answer is nothing, because it changes your blood sugar. And the answer is like nothing, but it was a control for years. And it was just what never to eat on an airplane. And so things like the fascination approach with a page number gave you a lot of opportunity, gave you a lot of entry points too.
Yeah.
You have like four, if you had four fascinations on an outer envelope, you'd have an entry point on, like we had four, on one of our best-selling books, we had four fascinations. It was for a general consumer book. One was how to outwit a mugger in a self-service elevator. One was how you know when a slot machine is ready to pay off. The third was like how to, what vitamin never to buy in a health food store. So we're getting to, you know, different angles. And it's true that, you know, you don't want to give the consumer too much choice. But you know what? When you're going for headline and it's four fascinations or three fascinations, you can have three things that can cover a marketplace, and it's an entry point into the package. That worked like gangbusters for us. And I think it still works gangbusters.
Well, you know, today they call it clickbait.
Right.
You know, that's the BuzzFeeds, you know, of the world, right. You know, are living on that, aren't they?
Yeah. Another one I like is I always like, so we had advertorials, which are ads, right, right. And now they're called native ads. So
So let's talk a little bit about this kind of merging or integrating, world of, a lot of people, don't use direct mail anymore. A good week might go by and I'll get three pieces of mail, right. at my office. So, how are you seeing marketers who clearly have to have websites and clearly have to have an online presence and clearly have to use email today? How are you seeing them using direct mail in particular to supplement or maybe even expand their business?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing because I say everybody's going right, time to go left, but not full time. And so email is still, email is the killer app. Email is the best way to communicate with people. You have to communicate them with really good value. You can't sell them every day. You got to give them really good content, all of the stuff we just talked about. But I do believe that it's not only like a convenient thing that you have direct mail hanging out there. It is a great weapon on the back end of any digital business. And it's funny because a lot of digital, let's say the supplement business, you have digital businesses online selling supplements and they don't do any direct mail. And yet they've got the postal addresses of all of their customers and their customers are usually 50 plus in age. So you're not even talking about like, I don't want to do direct mail to 20-year-olds because they don't open their mailbox, which is not true. Because everybody's still, I always have the youngest person around a table when I go to a consulting client and I say, I say something like, do you know what a mailbox is? He goes, don't be a wise ass, she tells me. Yeah. And I say, but do you check it, what, once every 2 weeks? She goes, no, I check it every day. And we get into this thing where if you got a lumpy piece of mail or a big package from somebody and it was hand addressed, and you didn't think it was a bomb, that you would take it back into your house and open it before you go back to your email. And every one of them said they would. So that's the anecdotal thing. But the main thing that I would say is that if you're selling especially high ticket, if you're selling high ticket merchandise, you can use direct mail because you can target your list better. You can do pre-screens of credit. So you can offer them credit and not take a bath on the back end or have bad debt. And you can basically, you've got some room to work with if you have a high ticket. And if you have a high ticket item, it should need a little more explanation than, working off a mouse and clicking off everything, quickly. So I think direct mail has an amazing role to play in marketing still. Chapter 3 of my book is How Paying Postage Made Me a Better Marketer. And it was because of the discipline that we had in direct mail. But before you hit send on an email, you think that if it doesn't get any orders, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. You've just alienated your audience. Yeah. So we had to be so disciplined. And I talk about that not to endorse direct mail, but to show where it can be good. And I'll just give you one other quick thing on direct mail. Direct mail is physical product too. And I think that with digital products, people say my margins are great. The digital product is so easy to distribute. I can charge $2,000 for the course and I don't have to give them much else except a little coaching. Well, that's true to some degree. But if you had the physical product as either an alternative or an addition, it adds so much to the perceived value of your product. And even I have this one little mastermind that's a virtual mastermind. It's $2,000 a year. And what I do with them, it's like it's all online. It's all on Zoom. It's all, digital. But I give them once a month. I send them a USB in a plastic case and I mail it in an envelope all over the world because now on their shelf, they have a representation of what this digital thing is all about. And I think, I haven't gone through my first renewal phase yet, but to me, renewals are everything. And so, the idea of saying, new customer acquisition is the lifeblood of a company. I don't necessarily think so. It's a necessary thing you have to do, but it's the second order. It's the renewal. So much easier to keep a customer than to get a new one. So why wouldn't you want to do the renewal? So I think the idea of having a high ticket, also direct mail on the back end is like if you're distributing things during the year to your best customers, distribute it through direct mail. You know, yeah. Rec mail campaign doesn't have to be a million pieces with a 12-page letter. It can be six Federal Express envelopes with your book in it, with a note on it saying, you know, I think that you'll really like this, or a book of someone else that would be of use to them. And if someone's paying you $15,000, $20,000 a year for a mastermind or something like that, you know, keeping in touch with them through the mail is just so much more powerful. Now, you know, they both have to work together, though, of course.
Yeah. Well, and I think the another thing a lot of people underestimate, too, is you sell that $200 product online. Well, you know, some percentage of those people want a $5,000 product.
That's from right.
You. And I think that your idea of like doing more to over make them feel like they're over deliver, you know, it makes it easier to go back and ask them for $5,000 than some new person walking down the street, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's why I say it's more on the back end. I mean, yeah. And that's only because direct mail has gotten more expensive and people don't know how to do it because it's, you know, now it's new media because it's so old. Right. But I think that, I think what's interesting, though, is that the response rates you get in direct mail today are just as good as they were in 1980. It's just that your universe is a lot smaller of really good response lists, and you can't dive really deep. But I'll tell you, if you have a big house file and you've never done direct mail and you want to go from 2,000 to 5,000. And you know, if you sold with a credit card, you've got every one of their postal addresses. And the other big advantage of direct mail, and I don't have to sell it. I mean, it's got the advantage. It's an opt-out medium, not an opt-in. You know, you have their postal address. You can mail to them as long as you want, as long as they're not on the do not promote list with the DMA. But you just mail them as long as you want, and they have to opt out or unsubscribe, which is the exact opposite of email, where they have to opt in, and then they can opt out anytime as well.
Have you ever tried looking for a domain name? Chances are that the first few options you tried were not available. And you're not alone. I mean, over 65% of domain name searches actually fail because, you know, all good domain names are already taken. But that's not necessarily true. In fact, I got myself selfreliance.site, where I talk about my book, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, and share content to help people become self-reliant in their entrepreneurial journey. You too can get your very own .site domain for as low as $1.99. Visit www.get.site or click the link in the description on the show notes page. Search for your unique .site domain and use the code SELFRELIANCE to get 50% off your domain purchase.
So what do you think about this particular period we're in right now? You know, I had a client a couple of weeks ago that was trying to get something in the hands of physicians, and they were like, well, you know, do we just email them or what do we do? You know, and it was pretty obvious. It's like, no, you got to mail it to them, you know, and partly because you couldn't go call on them anymore. You couldn't drop by the office anymore. Nobody wanted to see you, you know? And so do you feel like we're in a window now where, you know, until we get back someday, actually doing face-to-face meetings, where it's going to make direct mail even more important, even just as a basic communication form?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think it's always important, but especially here, because I think also the fact that we'll say doctors, for instance, they're at home and getting their home address. You no longer have, you know, the secretary screening the mail. Right. So that's an advantage as well, if you can get to them with their home address. But you know what? If you're a salesperson selling like pharmaceuticals or whatever, I mean, high ticket machinery for an office, I mean, why wouldn't you want to hand pick your list? And you got time. You're all home anyway. So if you can get the perfect list. And I would even say, you know, this is where using, you know, Federal Express or Priority Mail, as opposed to, we're not talking about third class mail anymore. You know, we're not talking about mailing in bulk. We're talking about first class mail, a Federal Express or something. Because if you have the right list with an offer, that's good. And then it's your creative. I always say that those are the three legs of marketing. It's the list, the offer, and the creative. And I always say the creative is the least important thing until it's not. And what I mean by that is that you've got to get the list right. The list is the most important. You get a decent offer, and then you work on the creative. And it I can prove it, because if you have the best creative going to a list that's not targeted, you're going to get zero orders. Whereas if you have a perfectly targeted list or an affiliate or something like that, and you mail them the worst creative, you mail them a flashing red box with an arrow, you'll get some orders. That you can do, and that's where the creative comes in. But I'll tell you, I think, you know, I hadn't thought of, you know, direct mail being better now during the COVID period, but it has to be. And the thing is, I was surprised in my mailbox. It feels like it's even emptier during COVID, because people have given up. I mean, look at restaurants. The restaurants where they had takeout only, there was so many proactive things they could have done. I mean, you get menus all the time. I wasn't even getting menus, but I'm talking about a targeted program where you send out a menu that says, you know, from the local restaurant, I want to cook dinner for you tonight. Make your reservation. Pick it up. And just like very little ingenuity for the most part. And that surprised me, because there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, I think even the big chains, you know, which should have known better. I completely agree. I think everybody was just nervous to do anything for a while. Right. And so they all just quit.
The entrepreneurs were much more proactive, the people that I'm talking to on a regular basis. And I was on a call with a group of entrepreneurs yesterday, and it was like most people are crushing it. They're just doing so much better, and they're embarrassed about it, because they see the struggle that so many companies are having. So, you know, I think you just got, it's not a question of just being innovative. It's you've got to deal with what you dealt with. So either you can throw your arms up and say, I'm giving up, or you can attack it in some way. Maybe you won't get the same amount of business. Maybe you'll get more, but you got to do something.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about the list. I know back in the day, you know, there were great list companies, you know, every magazine, you know, was available that could be a great targeted list. Feels like that world has kind of evaporated largely. So obviously your own in-house list is a great list, but short of that, if you were trying to target certain demographics, where do you go, or certain types of businesses, where do you go these days?
Well, I always try to take a look and see if there's, you know, the list, it's either response list or compiled list. So response list have to have some response in direct mail. Yeah. And those are a lot smaller than they were. And the compiled lists are just as big, because it's basically, it's names and addresses with overlaying demographic data on it. So when I have a project, like someone wants to go and reach accountants, for instance, I try to look first if there's a response, even if it's regional, even if I'm just looking for clients in a particular metropolitan area, I'm still going to take a look at what response lists might be available, like a trade magazine or a seminar list. There aren't that many of those anymore either. But you try to get people who've responded in the mail, and those are going to be your best names. They may be a lot smaller, but it's quality over quantity. And then, you know, then you have to go to the compilers, and they'll, you know, and those run the gamut from, you know, really bad delivery, really bad data, to somewhat good data, but that's not as good a list. I think what you said about the list companies, there's been a tremendous consolidation of the list brokers and managers. And there aren't that many left that are really good. There are a couple that specialize in certain categories, but I'll tell you, that was what I said. The people that I grew up with in the 80s and 90s, they were brokers and managers, and a lot of those people didn't make any kind of pivot to the internet. They didn't. And so they still have a business, but it's shrunk. The other way to get lists are these cooperative databases. So that's when everybody has a smaller list than the response list. So they pool all their names, and hopefully they put the best names into the database. And then from that database of similar names, you can pull out a decent quantity by city, by state, if you have to go regional. So I know people have had good luck with that. We had some luck with that at Boardroom in my later years. But, you know, it's a challenging thing to find a lot of outside lists to mail. I had an online marketer that was doing big launches online, digital product, but they happened to have a physical product of their digital product available on DVDs, CDs. They had interviews with patients, all of that. It was a health product. And so we did a direct mail campaign to a proof of concept for them, and it went through the roof, but we only were able to mail like seven or eight lists. We had to, we could mail it as a bill me offer, which is unheard of online, a real bill me offer, you know, send the product with a bill on top of it and have them send no money and getting 60 or 70% pay up. And it pays for itself many times over. But then when we were ready to continue on that program, they didn't have the stomach for it because they were able to scale on a digital product quickly and they could make a lot of money, whereas they couldn't make as much money on the direct mail. They could make some. I tried to explain to them that anybody who comes in from a direct mail package coming in off an email is going to be a lot more worth to you in a lifetime value situation. But I couldn't convince them to move on with it. So
Brian, tell people where they can find out more about you and your work and, of course, pick up a copy of Over Deliver.
Well, I mean, that's the best way to get on my list. It's the best way to become a member of my online family. So they go to overdeliverbook.com. And if they go there, they buy the book off there to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever they want to go. They come back to the site and there's thousands of dollars worth of treasures in there, from Jay Abraham to Gary Bensavenga to Dan Kennedy. Just some really great stuff. And there's some stuff on direct mail too. I have two PDFs of two of the best books on direct mail ever written by Dick Benson and Gordon Grossman, who probably a lot of the listeners don't know who they were, but they were geniuses. Gordon Grossman helped build the Reader's Digest. So that site, overdeliverbook.com, the book costs $17 on Amazon, and you get thousands of dollars worth of bonuses. But if you don't want to spend $17, that's okay. You can just go to briankurtz.net, briankurtz.net, and you can opt in. There's an interview there with Perry Marshall about the three most biggest successes of my career. And there's a lot of free content on my site, all my past blogs of the last 5 years. And you don't have to buy a thing from me, and I won't pressure you too much to buy anything from me. And I don't do affiliates, and my business is pretty clean.
Awesome. Well, Brian, it was great catching up with you. It's been a while, and hopefully we'll run into you next time we're out there on the road.
Yeah, best wishes to you.